You're listening to The Current on CBC Radio 1 and online on cbc.ca/thecurrent. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti.
Hundreds of high-profile politicians, sports stars, and actors are implicated.
Some of the big names outed in the leak are Russian President Vladimir Putin and soccer star Lionel Messi.
The Icelandic Prime Minister, Sigmundur Gunnlaugsson.
Prime Minister David Cameron's father has come up in the leak.
In the week since the leak of the Panama Papers, it's been a global story, as you heard there, largely a story about the rich and powerful caught up in the financial expose. But dig through those records from the law firm Mossack Fonseca, and the real stories are between the ledger lines, as some of the world's poorest and least powerful bear the burden of tax avoidance schemes.
In Uganda, a company that wanted to sell a prospective oil field paid Mossack Fonseca to help it avoid $400 million in taxes. It was simple paperwork. The company's address was changed from one tax haven to another. In a country where one in three people live on less than $1.25 a day, $400 million represents more than the government's annual health budget. Uganda spent years in court trying to force the company to pay its taxes. Meanwhile, hospitals in the shadow of the oil field lacked funds for even the most basic equipment. Patients slept on floors. They were asked to bring their own medical supplies, like sterile gloves and cotton balls.
Well, our thanks to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists who provided that clip for us. It is the same group behind the reports of the leak of the Panama Papers. For all the flashy headlines that the secret documents have sparked, perhaps what they show most clearly is the real human cost to developing countries when companies do not pay their fair share of tax. In 2010, Heritage Oil was set to sell its oil fields in Uganda to another oil company, Tullo, for $1.5 billion US. The sale would have meant the company would owe the Ugandan government over $400 million in capital gains tax. Documents leaked as part of the Panama Papers show Heritage Oil asking to relocate the company to Mauritius, a country with no capital gains tax. Michael O'Hagan is a freelance journalist in Kampala, Uganda, and he's with us now. Hello.
Hello.
What has been the reaction since these revelations came to light that Heritage Oil was explicitly trying to skirt paying that $400 million in tax?
Members of civil society organizations in Uganda have been very upset, although people on the street have not been surprised because they feel that their tax money disappears all the time unfairly.
Has Uganda received all of the money owed to the government by Heritage Oil or Tullo, the company that bought the oil fields?
Yes, there was a series of court cases, part of which was very secretive. But the outcome of that in 2015 was that the Ugandan government was awarded the total amount and has received that money.
The capital gains was over $400 million US. Can you give us a sense of what that money can do in a country like Uganda?
For Uganda, the total expenditure on health services from the Ugandan government and from donors is about $430 million per year. So $404 million is about double the Ugandan government's healthcare budget, and it approximately matches the total in healthcare from including donor care.
And so you say that the civil society groups are upset, but the actual public is just kind of hardened to this kind of thing?
Yes, there's a great deal of skepticism about these sorts of deals in Uganda. So people are hardened to it. They simply think this is what goes on every day, and they feel that they are at the whim of corrupt people in Uganda and also at the whim of big international corporations.
Has there been fallout for the government then?
The government has received some praise from the people for the way it's handled this, because the government stuck very rigidly to the demands that tax is not a donation, it's not a compromise. It's simply an obligation that companies, wherever they come from, have to pay. And the government resisted pressure for a settlement for less.
And how is the government tackling the issue of tax avoidance for the future, given that there are other multinational companies, including multinational oil companies, working in your country?
The government is increasingly secretive about the deals that it is striking with the oil companies. The production sharing agreements are not public. Campaign groups and journalists constantly try to squeeze a little bit of information out about the terms of these agreements, but the government are very secretive. So we don't know exactly what they're doing to try and stop this from happening again.
What's at stake for Uganda if it doesn't get its fair share of tax revenue from the country's resources?
Well, Uganda is a country that suffers from a high rate of HIV infections. There are approximately 1.5 million people with HIV, who are HIV positive in Uganda, and 300,000 of them currently receive no treatment whatsoever. This some $400 million could easily be used to treat those people who have never been reached and who are at biggest risk. The healthcare system in Uganda is crumbling. Just this week, the only radiotherapy machine in Uganda broke down, and it's going to be 2 years before a new machine can be paid for and delivered and built. Part of that is because there's simply no money available to plan for contingencies such as these breakdowns, and cancer patients are going to suffer very seriously as a result.
So it's connecting the dots is pretty obvious then on something like this. Michael O'Hagan, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Michael O'Hagan is a freelance journalist. We reached him in Kampala, Uganda. We did ask Heritage Oil to comment for this story. We did not hear back. As shocking as many of the Panama Papers revelations have been, many of those most familiar with the practices of multinational corporations say that what we've seen so far is likely just the tip of the iceberg. Mike Lewis is an independent finance and policy researcher. He joins us from our studio in London, England. Hello.
Good morning.
I'll just stick with Heritage Oil for a minute. It told The Guardian, it didn't give us an interview, but it did tell The Guardian that it started the process of relocating from the Bahamas to Mauritius, quote, long before the completion of the transaction. What do you make of that statement?
I mean, I haven't seen all the Heritage documents, so it's difficult for me to comment directly on them. But what I would say is that the practice of which they're accused is a practice called treaty shopping, basically where you shift a transaction or a company from one place to a tax haven at the stroke of a lawyer's pen. And that's an incredibly common tax avoidance technique. We see it in dozens and dozens of major listed public companies operating right across the developing world and the developed world. So it wouldn't in any way be an uncommon strategy. It's unusual to see it expressed as clearly as this in the Panama Papers, that this is definitely for tax avoidance, but it's a very common practice.
Yeah, the email is quite pointed in those papers. In your work, you've uncovered tax avoidance practices similar to this. Tell us a bit about what you found.
So I used to work for the organization ActionAid, an international development charity, and we looked into a multinational sugar company operating across sub-Saharan Africa. And we found this specific tactic of which Heritage is accused to be incredibly common in terms of routing big fees, transactions, entities through tax havens in order to avoid tax on those transactions. And the numbers are, as you mentioned in your intro, the numbers are quite small by the standards of economies like the UK and Canada. But we found that just one company in Zambia, for example, was using this tactic to avoid enough tax revenues to pay for all the micronutrients needed to end malnutrition in Zambia. This is a place where 45% of all children are malnourished to the point of stunting.
Mm. Is it necessarily companies trying to re-domicile a company, or you found them using consultants, or
there's
how
lots
do
of
they move money around?
That's right. There's lots of different ways it can be done. One of the things we see is large fees or interest payments on intercompany loans being paid out to or via tax havens in order to take advantage of these agreements between tax havens and big economies to avoid tax on them. So we looked into companies that were supposed to be providing millions of pounds of consultancy fees, for example, of consultancy services every year from Ireland, a company that we found had no employees. And when we visited the address in Ireland, nobody had ever heard of the company. This was a subsidiary of a major UK listed public company. So it's a common tactic, and it's facilitated by, of course, the lawyers, the company formation agents, the auditors who keep these shell companies running in tax havens.
So who is hurt most by these practices?
Well, certainly research by the IMF is very clear that although the impact in dollar terms is huge in the most wealthy economies, actually poorer economies are more vulnerable than those to these kinds of practices. So they estimate that something like $200 billion US dollars of tax revenue is lost every year by developing economies just by corporate tax avoidance, which is about the same as the entire global development aid budget. So it doesn't help Canadian taxpayers either, who are very laudably paying from their tax dollars for international aid when it's being sucked out again the other way.
I was just going to say, so wait a minute, it's like a big circle. We put in $200 billion US collectively as the developed countries through our tax money, and then that gets sucked out by multinational firms doing tax avoidance?
Well, it's not just multinational firms, it's also wealthy individuals in those countries themselves. But yes, it's essentially a big circle.
So it does rip off the average taxpayer.
Well, to the extent that the average Canadian taxpayer is paying for Canada's aid budget, and that's a great thing that they do that. It's a great piece of international solidarity. But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense when, wealthy economies like Canada and the UK are setting the rules at the OECD that allow these kinds of practices to continue.
So what happens now?
Well, I think it's early days to see what happens with the Panama Papers and I'm sure there's more revelations on the way, but it's important to note that we've just been through a round of international tax reforms at the OECD, where Canada sits at the table and developing countries are not allowed to sit at the table. And they explicitly decided not to deal with the kinds of treaty shopping tactics that Heritage has been accused of. So they dodged that bullet, so to speak. So the pressure is really on now to say, well, what didn't you do and why didn't you do it?
And so do you expect this to go forward to another G8 meeting, given what's going on in Britain as well?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that need to happen. As I said, we've been through a couple of rounds of these kinds of international debates about tax now, and the policies that need to be put in place are very clear. The question is, I think, what are wealthy developed economies going to do about both the kinds of tax regimes that exist in the tax havens that they have under their control? So, I'm sitting here in the UK with a whole penumbra of tax havens around us linked to the UK. What are they going to do that they didn't do in the last couple of rounds?
Well, we can ask that question, I guess, of our own government as well then. Thank you, Mike Lewis.
Thanks a lot.
Mike Lewis, independent finance and policy researcher, joined us from London, England. This is The Current.